This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Little progress with Moscow. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Wednesday, June 16. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Biden is in Geneva for a meeting today with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Hear how the White House is playing down expectations.
A federal judge in Louisiana has issued a preliminary injunction that prevents the Biden administration from blocking new oil and gas leases.
Four states are being watched to see whether cutting off federal unemployment benefits will encourage people to return to work. We'll have details.
And as investigators study the U.S. Capitol attack, a pattern has emerged about missed warnings in this and other incidents.
In July, the FBI office in Phoenix sent a memo to Washington saying that they had discovered this foreigners getting trained to fly planes, and that there was the possibility of a coordinated effort by Osama bin Laden to send these students to U.S. aviation schools.
Bart Jansen at USA Today on the history of U.S. intelligence lapses. President Biden is in Switzerland for this afternoon's meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The U.S. brings a number of complaints to the table, including recent ransomware attacks on critical U.S. infrastructure, election interference, increasing aggression toward Ukraine, and Mr. Putin's crackdowns on political opposition. But White House officials have increasingly downplayed their expectations for the meeting. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said he doesn't expect any significant outcomes. Montana Republican Senator Steve Daines on Fox News.
These ransomware attacks are a very serious threat to our country, our economic security, our entire national security. We need a forceful president confronting Putin about what's going on here with Russia attacking our country.
The best case scenario for Mr. Biden is likely to be an error-free summit, according to aides. The White House said it won't hold a joint news conference with Mr. Putin after the summit. Instead, it will have Mr. Biden brief the media by himself. Tensions have flared again between Israel and the Palestinians. Israeli aircraft carried out a series of airstrikes at militant sites in the Gaza Strip earlier today, the first such raids since a shaky ceasefire ended an 11-day war with Hamas last month. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Israeli military said the airstrikes targeted facilities used by Hamas militants for meetings to plan attacks, blaming the group for any act of violence emanating from Gaza. There were no immediate reports of casualties. Meanwhile, yesterday, hundreds of Israeli ultranationalists, some chanting "death to Arabs," paraded in East Jerusalem. Palestinians in Gaza responded by launching incendiary balloons that caused at least 10 fires in southern Israel. On Twitter, Israel's foreign minister said those shouting racist slogans were a disgrace to the Israeli people. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The violence poses an early test for the government of new Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, whose patchwork coalition came to power Sunday on a pledge to focus on socioeconomic issues and avoid sensitive policy choices towards the Palestinians. Authorities in Alabama say an employee at a water distribution plant killed two workers and injured a pair of others before fatally shooting himself. Albertville Police Chief Jamie Smith says it happened early yesterday morning at Muller Company. The gunman was identified as 34-year-old Andreas Horton, who authorities said had no ties to the victims.
They do have a guard shack, the entry-exit way, and it was manned by a private security company. But you have to keep in mind this guy was an employee. He's supposed to be there.
Killed were Michael Dobbins and David Horton. The two wounded employees were taken to a hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Chief Smith said the shooter used a handgun to fire an unknown number of rounds at his coworkers before fleeing. He was later found dead in the vehicle from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound about 15 miles away from the factory. Mueller, which makes water distribution and measurement products, gives Albertville the nickname Fire Hydrant Capital of the World. Coming up next, a pattern of U.S. intelligence lapses.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be.
For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday. The director of the FBI says the agency is pursuing potentially hundreds more suspects in the Capitol riot. Christopher Wray told the House Oversight Committee that the FBI has already arrested close to 500 people with hundreds of other investigations ongoing. Meanwhile, the FBI's unheeded warnings that violence threatened the Capitol 5 months ago echoed intelligence failures of previous violent attacks in the U.S., including mass shootings and 9/11. National security experts said the lapses reveal that authorities continue to have trouble with three things: separating real threats from empty talk, sharing information across agencies, and acting to prevent violence.
Certainly, we're going to be looking hard on our end to figure out, are there better ways for us to share information beyond the ways that we have been doing it?
It's FBI's Director Wray yesterday. Insight now from Bart Janssen, congressional reporter at USA Today. Bart, what are the concerns?
Well, the concern among these national security analysts or experts that say that, you know, over the years, even when the FBI comes up with warnings on some of these violent attacks, that the warnings, if they get, sometimes they don't get passed along to the right people, sometimes they get passed along and there's just not the sort of urgency or seriousness or repetitiveness even for people to take it seriously. And so there have been these lapses, and some folks are trying to point them out and try to do better next time.
All right, so you reference a number of events. 9/11, the Parkland school shooting in Florida in 2018, the Pulse nightclub shooting. What are some of these signs that perhaps we could have done better with?
Right. Well, I went back as far as 2001 and back with the 9/11 hijackings. Of course, that was in September. Well, in July, the FBI office in Phoenix sent a memo to Washington saying that they had discovered this foreigners getting trained to fly planes, and that there was the possibility of a coordinated effort by Osama bin Laden to send these students to U.S. aviation school. So the memo was not an alert about suicide pilots, and the guy that wrote it was thinking more in terms of a Lockerbie type blowing up a plane. But anyway, you know, still bad news. Yeah. And it gets to Washington, but it, you know, the perception was it didn't get handed around to the right people. And Thomas Keene, the former governor of New Jersey who headed the commission that studied the 9/11 attacks, said that he personally thinks, you know, if that would have gotten more attention, taken more seriously over the summer, that perhaps those attacks might have been prevented. In more recent years, we've had, as you mentioned, several of these school shootings. The Parkland shooting in Florida, the gunman had been posting online that he wanted to become a professional school shooter, and somebody turned him in. The FBI couldn't track that down. In the Pulse shooting in Florida, a friend reported the eventual gunman to the FBI, but the FBI didn't find enough evidence to stop him. Now, that, you know, you can't get around that if there's not enough to do anything before something happens. But it's these, you know, finding the information is hard enough, and then the difficulty is, how do you gauge how serious it is, how serious to take it?
We're speaking with Bart Janssen, congressional reporter at USA Today. He's got a piece called Missed Warnings of Capitol Riot Echo Intelligence Lapses Before Shootings and 9/11. You referenced, too, that there's a concern about better treatment of FBI analysts.
Yeah, what the 9/11 Commission found 20 years ago was that analysts were sort of second-class citizens at the agency, the agents, you know, the people that you think of from television or movies or whatever, that those guys had all the status. And so the analysts, what the 9/11 Commission found is that the analysts should be treated better. They should be given pay raises, brought up to basically be on par with agents, because their work at connecting the dots is so important and has, you know, maybe become even more important in the years since. That you got the agents outside out getting the information, finding the evidence, checking with people, doing the stuff in the field, but the analysts are the ones connecting the dots. Maybe you've got something going on in multiple states or, you know, multiple jurisdictions or multiple agents. You need somebody to connect the dots, many, many dots, thousands of pieces of information in some cases. And so analysts should be given more respect. And I understand they have been working to improve that situation.
Thanks, Bart. Bart Jansen, congressional reporter at USA Today. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden's first overseas trip is focused on demonstrating warmer relationships between the U.S. and its allies, a show of unity that will be tested during today's summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Issues up for discussion include cybersecurity, following a string of recent ransomware attacks impacting U.S. companies, as well as the poisoning and jailing of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny. Republican Congressman Chris Stewart of Utah on Fox.
This confrontation, this conversation has got to have teeth. It can't be, hey, don't attack us with cyber attacks, and Vladimir Putin go, we don't, and then say, well, okay, well, that's good to know, and move on. Of course he does. Confront it. Look at the reality.
Biden and Putin are also expected to discuss arms control and climate issues.
Number two.
Attorney General Merrick Garland has announced a new strategy to combat domestic terrorism.
The only way to find sustainable solutions is not only to disrupt and deter, but also to address the root causes of violence.
The Biden administration is seeking increased funds for the Justice Department and FBI and promoting programs for civic education and digital literacy to counter the rise in domestic terrorism.
Number three.
The Senate has passed a bill that would make Juneteenth or June 19th a federal holiday commemorating the end of slavery in the U.S. The bill would lead to Juneteenth becoming the 12th federal holiday. It's expected to easily pass the House, which would send it to President Biden for his signature. The day commemorates when the last enslaved African Americans learned they were free. Texas is again facing a power squeeze as the Electric Reliability Council of Texas asked residents to conserve as much power as possible until Friday. The conservation request is triggering flashbacks to February when millions were left without power in sub-freezing temperatures. Now, residents are being asked to use their air conditioning sparingly with Texas in the midst of a summer heat wave. Vacation homes are flying off the shelf. The National Association of Realtors says vacation home sales surged 57% from January to April compared with a year ago, while overall sales rose 20%. The hottest markets for vacation homes include Lee County and Collier County in Florida, Swain County in North Carolina, and Dukes County in Massachusetts.
They all sound good right about now. Thanks, Jen. Coming up next, companies get more assertive in encouraging vaccinations for workers. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
Thanks for joining us. For months, many employers have attempted to coax workers into receiving a COVID vaccine. Companies dangled cash, time off, right, other prizes to encourage vaccinations. Executives made personal appeals in town hall meetings and internal memos. Chip Cutter, workplace reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says now some of those efforts are taking a more assertive and urgent tone. Chip, explain.
Well, that's right. Companies for months now have really kind of tried to sort of nudge workers to get vaccinated, giving them those sorts of incentives that you mentioned. Now many companies are taking on a more urgent and assertive tone. A number of companies are asking workers to tell them if they've been vaccinated or not. And other companies are also implementing policies that would restrict the activities of unvaccinated workers. For example, you might not be able to go back to the office yet if you're not vaccinated. We're seeing a number of companies, Salesforce among others, that have put policies in place where the fully vaccinated workers who have voluntarily told the company that they are vaccinated are the ones who will come back to the office first.
Are there any health privacy issues here with offering up that information?
Well, you know, companies generally have a lot of cover here. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission recently said that U.S. employers can require all workers entering a workplace to be vaccinated against COVID-19. There was also a recent legal case involving the Houston Methodist Hospital Network, which employs more than 26,000 people. That hospital network had said that all of its employees needed to be vaccinated. There was a group of nurses and others who sued the hospital who, you know, they did not want to be vaccinated. A federal judge over the weekend struck that down, dismissed the case, said that the hospital was within its rights to do so. So companies do have to sort of safeguard this information, make sure that only a limited number of people have access to files, for example, showing whether someone's been vaccinated or not. But they generally are sort of within their legal rights to require people to get a vaccine.
We're speaking with Chip Cutter, workplace reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called Companies Push Employees to Prove They Are Vaccinated for COVID-19. So for those who are getting the vaccine then and are offering up the information, how do you notify your employer? Is it done electronically somehow? Do you show, you know, flash your badge, you know, sort of, if you got the vaccine card?
All sorts of different methods are being used across the corporate sphere. So there are some companies like Goldman Sachs, for example, have asked people to designate an internal portal whether they've been vaccinated or not. The payroll processor ADP, a big player in this space, is going to soon roll out a tool and a sort of a digital return to office dashboard where basically it's an app. It's something where people note, have you been vaccinated? Have you been partially vaccinated? Have you not received any vaccine? And there's also, if employers choose this, there'll be a place where people can take a picture of their vaccine card and upload it so that their employer can see it. So it sort of depends on what employers choose here. And some, of course, are just going on the honor system and saying, we want fully vaccinated workers back first. We're not going to ask you to show proof, but we hope that you'll comply with health guidelines and our policies.
Thanks, Chip. Chip Cutter, workplace reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal.
The news without the nonsense. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, June 16th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Biden meets Putin in Geneva today. New Israeli airstrikes target Hamas after it launched arson balloons. Two people killed at a workplace shooting in North Alabama. Democrats meet today to discuss next steps for an infrastructure bill. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo launches a political action committee. Computer issues at Southwest Airlines continued for a second day, causing hundreds of flights to be canceled. And Florida deputies turn a loitering call into an act of kindness. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. When you're hiring, there's no luxury of time. So instead of waiting for people to see your sponsored post, invite them to apply. More at Indeed.com/credit. Alaska, Iowa, Mississippi, and Missouri have emerged as a collective test case for whether cutting off federal unemployment benefits will help push people back into the job market or contribute to a slowdown in the economic recovery. It's a story by Neve Ellis, reporter at The Hill. Neve, take us through this.
Basically, all around the country, states for a long time have been paying only a fraction of what people's earnings were when they go on unemployment. When the pandemic started, Congress said, hey, that's not enough. This isn't a short-term thing. We're going to be in this for a while. We're going to need to give people some extra money. And so they added this extra supplement. It's been sort of on and off. It started at $600 last year, and then it sort of disappeared for a couple of months. There was a whole fight about it. And then it came back in December and was extended again in the latest COVID package in March. And it's not supposed to expire until the beginning of September. But a couple of states, I mean, more than a couple, 26 states, more than half of the states have said, you know, we think that this is actually too much. We don't think that people should be getting all of this extra money because we're worried that it's stopping them from going back to work. So the first four to take the plunge took it this past weekend, and over the coming weeks, we're going to see the rest of those states following suit and cutting off this extra benefit, which is going to leave a lot of people with much, much less income if they're not able to find a job.
Boy, it strikes me as a whole semester's worth of government 201 or 301 here in how benefits work. Who's saying what in support and against this?
So what you're hearing from the business sector, the Chamber of Commerce, and a lot of Republicans is basically that argument that, look, we're creating a warped incentive here. If you pay somebody more than they get paid to work to stay at home, they're not going to go and look for a job. And they're saying that we're seeing that in the jobs numbers. The last two jobs reports, they came out pretty high, but they weren't as high as everyone was expecting. People were sort of expecting a huge, huge surge in new jobs, and they came in a little bit more moderate than people were expecting. So what these people are saying is, of course that's what's happening. You're paying people to stay home. Why would you take a pay cut to go work in the middle of a pandemic? Now, the other side is saying, hey, wait a minute, that's not what's going on. We have a lot of evidence that shows that these benefits haven't really been what have prevented people from going back to work. And people know that the benefits are going to run out. When a good job comes along, they're going to take it. They know this benefit isn't forever, and a job is. So that's not what's stopping people. They say the thing that's stopping people from going back and taking these jobs is that there's still not childcare. Schools aren't fully back in session, in person everywhere. And when they are, it's not necessarily every day. There are also just a lot of people that are still nervous about going back to work, maybe in a big crowded place with a lot of people, given that the pandemic is still happening.
Mm. We're speaking with Neve Ellis, budget and appropriations reporter at The Hill. His story is called Four States Emerge as a Test Case for Cutting Off Jobless Benefits. Alaska, Iowa, Missouri, and Mississippi, the most recent. Boy, the schools factor just looms so large here, doesn't it? I think it goes underreported sometimes.
Absolutely. There are some economists that have been referring to the recession that we experienced under the pandemic as a she-cession, because we saw so many women drop out of the labor force. And the reason that they're saying that happened is because family responsibilities tend to fall disproportionately on moms as opposed to dads. So when kids weren't able to go to school, when somebody needed to be home to make sure they were getting their virtual learning done or being taken care of, or in some cases being homeschooled, it fell on the moms, and they were dropping out of the labor force. And we still haven't really seen women sort of come back in full force, which is why so many economists say this childcare issue is still a major thing that's stopping people from getting back to work.
Thanks, Neve. Neve Ellis, reporter at The Hill. Coming up next, a movie popcorn hack for butter. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness? We're all dealing with a lot right now. I'm sure you feel the same kind of added stress I do. Then you should know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. Schedule weekly or monthly phone or video sessions or whatever works for you. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's why there's a special offer for This Morning with Gordon Deal listeners. 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gordon. That's BetterHelp.com/Gordon. And join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you'd think that after the last 15 months we've had to endure, we'd all be adept at spelling the word quarantine, but that's apparently not the case. This according to an analysis of Google Trends data that identified the most commonly misspelled words in each state, judging by how many people Googled how to spell certain words. Quarantine topped the list in 12 states, crossing the country from Connecticut to Washington, Massachusetts to Nevada. The most common misspelling of quarantine was quarantine. Another one you'd think we would have mastered is coronavirus, but that was the most misspelled word in six states, like Illinois, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Vermont, West Virginia, and New Jersey. Other words making the list in multiple states include favorite in Georgia, Iowa, Kentucky, Maryland, New Mexico, Ohio, and Virginia, and which, the WHICH version, in Alabama, Arizona, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and South Carolina. Every was a tough one in Hawaii, Mississippi, and Montana, and believe topped the list in Nebraska and both North and South Dakota.
Okay. This is puzzling. Quarantine.
Yeah, yeah.
You said a lot of people came up with corn-teen, like two words.
Yeah, yeah.
Corn and teen.
Yes, yes.
That to me sounds like it's a Siri issue.
Right.
Like, hey, Siri, how do I spell quarantine?
Right.
And this is what Siri is coming up with. I can't imagine anybody actually tried to spell quarantine
with
quarantine.
Yeah, how to spell, and then I guess they type in quarantine. That's apparently how this is happening.
I have my doubts.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds extremely hard to believe.
Yeah.
I have to agree.
I got some doubts about this. And then every... That's a difficult word to spell. Every?
I guess.
Come on.
I'd like to meet these folks. We should have a little sit down with the folks who had trouble spelling every and just to kind of talk about life. How did we get to this place,
yeah,
you know, where you're Googling how to spell every?
I think the only real legit one on here is believe, where I can see some people maybe not knowing the rule, I before E except after C. Right?
I suppose. Yeah.
That's the only one really I can think is legitimate in terms of spelling.
Right, right. But then again, doesn't you normally, like, if you're typing into a Word doc, it normally would sort of correct these things for you.
Yes.
So even having to go to Google seems like an extra step that we don't normally, which shouldn't have to take, I wouldn't
puzzling,
think.
Puzzling, Mike. Puzzling.
Yes. And with movie theaters slowly starting to come back to life, it's time to tackle the age-old question, how do you get the butter evenly distributed throughout your bucket of popcorn? A video by a TikTok user has gone viral trying to hack this very problem. Colleen Leff posted a clip over the weekend showing a trick her aunt taught her to make sure all the popcorn is buttery. In the video, Colleen takes a straw and pokes it through the top of the popcorn and pushes it all the way to the bottom of the bucket. Then she directs the flow of the oily movie butter into the straw in order to get it past the top layer. Colleen's trick has melted the minds of movie fans as the video has been watched over 5 million times since Sunday.
Hmm.
Now, I don't mean to brag here, Gordon, but I have actually, believe it or not, I have been doing this very thing for years.
Oh, really?
Now, I didn't come up with it on my own, but
yeah,
I'd say maybe 5 years ago or so, I saw somebody do this in a video.
Oh, wow.
You know, or one of those, you know, hack websites,
yeah,
or one of those articles you see around. And I've been doing this, and my kids marvel at it every single time I do it. I stick the straw in, and what you do is you sort of move the straw up gradually as you go along to try and get the butter into the different layers of the popcorn, and it actually works pretty well. I think
that's what I was going to ask. What do you do once the butter starts going in? I didn't realize you move the straw.
I mean, you want to pool it at the bottom.
Yeah.
You want to try and distribute it throughout the popcorn.
That's what I couldn't figure out.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So I've been doing this for a little while.
Because sometimes I guess you can ask the theater to like fill the bucket halfway with popcorn.
Right.
Add some butter, then add the rest of the popcorn. But some theaters don't do that.
Yeah, that seems like an extra step. And who wants to get back on that line again and deal with that hassle? We all know that moves as slow as molasses.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Car theft has risen dramatically in the U.S. during the pandemic. In 2020, it was up almost 10% from the prior year. That reversed a two-year decline. In addition, the National Insurance Crime Bureau says catalytic converter theft has surged across the country. How about this? Increasing over 400% in the past year. This uptick is linked to the valuable metals that those devices contain. Just in case, NerdWallet says you might consider comprehensive insurance. Besides paying out if your car is stolen, comprehensive insurance provides coverage if a car part like keys or a catalytic converter is taken during a theft. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden and Russia's Vladimir Putin sit down today for their highly anticipated summit in Geneva, a moment of high-stakes diplomacy at a time when both leaders agree U.S.-Russian relations are at an all-time low. For 4 months, the two leaders have traded sharp rhetoric. Biden repeatedly called out Putin for malicious cyber attacks by Russian-based hackers on U.S. interests and interference in U.S. elections. Putin pointed to the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol to argue the U.S. has no business lecturing on democratic norms. And their meeting is expected to last 4 to 5 hours.
Number two.
Newly released emails show that during the last weeks of his presidency, Donald Trump and his allies pressured the Justice Department to investigate unsubstantiated claims of widespread election fraud that even his former attorney general said there was no evidence of. The emails released yesterday reveal in new detail how Trump, his White House chief of staff, and other allies pressured members of the government to challenge the election over false claims.
Number three.
Albertville, Alabama police say an employee at a water distribution plant opened fire on co-workers early yesterday, killing two and injuring two before taking his own life. This plant employee says he was on his way to work when he heard there was an active shooter.
You're always going to have that on your mind, thinking that there's going to be somebody going to walk in the door and shoot you. You never know.
Authorities say there were no ties between the two men shot and the shooter except for working at the same place. Israeli aircraft carried out a series of airstrikes at a militant site in the Gaza Strip early today, the first such raid since a shaky ceasefire ended the war with Hamas last month. There were no immediate reports of casualties. A long-standing mystery may be solved thanks to California's severe drought. As the drought dries out lakes across the state, officials have found the remains of what they believe to be a 1960s plane crash. The plane matches the description of a Piper Comanche 250, which went missing on New Year's Day, 1965. An underwater surveying company testing equipment in Folsom Lake near Sacramento last week found the fully intact plane in one of the lake's deepest points. It was the historically low water level in the lake that allowed the team to take clear photos of the plane's tail and propeller.
Well, that's something. I'm not sure I want to cheer that because of the conditions, but
exactly.
I mean, that's kind of good news, bad news. Yep. Thanks, Jen. Coming up next, Florida deputies help a man accused of loitering.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. What began as a routine loitering call quickly became an opportunity for a good deed when Florida deputies helped a man in need. Amanda Hunter, the public information manager for the Pasco County Sheriff's Office, says deputies were responding to a call at a gas station north of Tampa for someone who was loitering behind it. When deputies found the man and spoke to him, they noticed he was not wearing any shoes. The sheriff's office released body camera video of the heartwarming encounter. The deputies then went to a nearby store and bought the man a pair of flip-flops. The man was seen putting on the flip-flops before the deputies asked if he was hungry. One of the deputies said, "Let me see what I can do," before fetching the man a sandwich to eat. According to Ms. Hunter, good deeds like this have happened frequently. The motto at the Pasco Sheriff's Office is, "We fight as one." That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.